Places like Mexico and Pakistan often receive attention for being violent, but according to the United Nations, the world's most violent country is now the small Central American nation of Honduras. The U.S. Peace Corps has even withdrawn its volunteers. Drug trafficking, political instability, and Honduran history have all contributed to the problem. The first of a two-part series on violence in Honduras, Annie Murphy reports on police corruption.
The National Autonomous University is the largest university in Honduras. It's a sprawling campus of concrete buildings and tropical plants. It's filled with students on break between classes. They sit on benches, drink bottles of soda, and chat. But here, tucked in between the palm trees, some are gathered around a homemade memorial to two murdered students, Alejandro Vargas, the son of the rector of the university, and his friend Carlos Pineda, who were killed in October, not by Honduras's notorious gangs or drug traffickers, but by the police. The memorial is a long roll of white paper taped to a wall, where friends leave photos and write messages in colored marker. Isaac Trejo is skinny and tall, and he lingers with his hands in his pockets. Despite the heat, he wears black jeans and high tops. He says violent run-ins with the police have become commonplace.
It's normal, and everybody knows it. They don't respect the law. They can go and attack anyone they want. For them, the rules don't exist.
While police violence is commonplace, this case is high profile, and it's galvanized Honduras, largely because of who Alejandro Vargas's mother is. Within sight of the memorial, his mother, Julieta Castellanos, sits in her office. She has dark hair cut right at her chin and soft hollows under her eyes. In addition to working as the rector of the university, she's a widely respected expert on violence. She became part of the commission that took on the case of her own son's murder. She says it met strong resistance.
The police obstructed the investigation. The head of homicides threatened the prosecutors on the case. He's the person who was in charge of investigating murders. And he told the prosecutors that they had to stop investigating, that they didn't know what sort of trouble they were getting into.
Eight officers were arrested, but the police released four, despite striking evidence. The investigation found Alejandro's blood and hair in patrol cars. Tape on security cameras showed the boys being followed by police shortly before they were killed. And area guards testified that they heard gunshots right after they heard Alejandro's friend, Carlos, begging the police for mercy. Castellanos.
Their response was to take Carlos, still alive, along with the body of my son, because reports show he was dead by that point, 13 kilometers south of the city, where he was killed too.
For 25 years, Maria Luisa Borjas was a high-ranking police official and was eventually put in charge of investigations within the force. She said she was pushed out of her job, her son's thrown in jail, an attempt made on her husband's life when she began to uncover just how serious police corruption had become.
Everyone here knows that each day young men turn up dead with their hands bound and the famous execution shot to the base of the skull. And the majority of people that come forward, they say that it was the police that had taken those young men away.
The government says it's doing everything it can. Following the murders, high-level officials were fired, and the military was also sent into the streets as part of a move called Operation Lightning. Security Minister Pompeo Bonilla.
Not all the police are bad, but unfortunately we do have to accept that corruption is a reality, because in the last 3 years, Honduras has become a major stop for drug trafficking.
But according to Berto Oliva, the head of the Honduran Human Rights Commission, it's about much more than just drugs. She says today's problems go back to the 1980s, when the United States was using Honduras as a base for training and arming groups to fight leftists in the region. Disappearing people became part of our security culture, she says. We were supposed to have been living in democracy, so that's what our democracy became, she says, one that kills and tortures its citizens. Officials who were trained during that era still influence how the police and military are run today, say both Oliva and Borjas. And the U.S. still gives aid for law enforcement, with at least $50 million going to Honduras since 2008.
We've asked the U.S. to stop giving aid to security forces here, and we're going to keep asking them to stop.
In an interview, U.S. officials declined to comment on tape, but they pointed out that times have changed and stressed that today the relationship with Honduran security forces is totally different because all aid is tightly controlled and legal, things like training and materials. But even Honduran Security Minister Pompeo Bonilla says that the Honduran government is in over its head.
There's been a lot of aid, but it hasn't been well coordinated. We haven't established clear and precise guidelines for ourselves. We don't have a security policy in this country.
Which is why many here, including Isaac Trejo, that classmate of the murdered students, believes Honduras is on its way to being a failed state. At some point, the police will totally lose legitimacy, he says, and you're going to see even more lawlessness. That's when a society breaks down. And once that happens, he says, the state itself loses legitimacy, and that's what is happening here. For NPR News, I'm Annie Murphy.
And Annie Murphy's series continues tomorrow on Weekend Edition Sunday. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.